Church. And we promise to bring them back. Mainly because we don't know what to do with them if we keep them, okay? Many times when I get ready to start a message for a Sunday morning, it usually is posed in the way of a question. But not this morning. This morning is going to be a statement. And then I want us all to think about this because we are all part of this statement. What is, and I'm going to drop that word, what? The purpose of the church. The purpose of the church. What I'm about to say or read is not scripture, and I'm not adding to or taking away from the Word of God. But I would like for you to hear a passage the way that many Christians read it or live it. So here goes. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and become good pew warmers. And that's not quite the way it's written. Or find a chair near the back of the auditorium and keep it warm for at least one service a month. Occasionally tell somebody about Jesus, but don't be persistent or provide too much information. Tell them about how narrow a path you walk and invite them to join you on a walk toward heaven. Now let's hear it the way that it was given by Jesus Christ. And the passage is Mark 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Who was Jesus speaking to? Well, he was speaking to his disciples, but there were other people present. And Jesus knew that what he said would eventually be put into a book we call the Bible. And he was right. We are reading it right now for ourselves. People, many centuries ago, Jesus said these words, and they caused the people who heard them to take certain actions. The result of their actions was the creation and growth of what we call the church. It began on the day of Pentecost, and it's still somewhat active today. Not as active as it used to be, or it has been, but it is somewhat active today. The question that I would like to ask is based on what Jesus told his disciples and those that were with him on that day of Pentecost. when the Church of Jesus Christ was ordained by the coming of the Holy Spirit, as our Lord had promised. Here's the question. What is the purpose of the church today? What is the purpose of the church today? We're all sitting here this morning. And many Sunday mornings. Why are we here? Why are we here? I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm asking a question. Why are we here? What are we accomplishing by being here? In the statement that Jesus made on that day so long ago, there was a command embedded and implied. He was imperatively commanded. And the imperative word that starts the command is the word go. Go. In verse 19. Now, most of us have committed our lives to other people, other things. We've committed our lives to a mate, partner, family. We are bound by the commitments that we have made. And we may not even have known about this command by Jesus at the time that we made the commitments. If we had known, it was not the thing that we were thinking about at the time that we made the commitment to something else. So I ask again, what is the purpose of the church? Now we're all gathered in a place we call a church. We do churchy things. We feed the hungry and those who can't afford to buy food through our blessing box. We help support missionaries by supporting the finances of the church. And some of us give out gospel tracts on occasion. We baptize those who have believed like we did the other week. We do a lot of churchy things. Let me narrow the question down. What is your purpose for being a part of this group that we call a church? At this point, I'm not interested in your money. You may not believe that, but I'm not. I don't care what you give. What I'm really asking is this. Why are you here? Why are you here? And before we answer that question, let me tell you a little bit about people. Most people are comfortable if they don't have to get involved, if they can just sort of sit someplace where they don't have to be physically or spiritually involved. They're perfectly comfortable. Do you remember the story of the time that Jesus was inviting people to follow him? You find it in Matthew 8, verses 18 through 22. Matthew 8, verses 18 through 22 tells us this. Now, when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said to him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Now, it seems to me that there are so many complications that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. I know that I started out to be a missionary, and somehow I got into business. And I thought, well, this will be a great way to finance my missionary work. 17 years later, I was still in business. But I was not a missionary. Then God, in his grace, extended another missionary call, my wife and I. And we both knew that the business had to go. 3 years later, we were on the mission field. And I was out of business. And God had many ways of providing for us, ways that you can't even begin to imagine. We did some crazy things, what some people would say dumb things. We didn't go out like we bring in missionaries here to raise money and support. We simply went out. And God has taken care of us. He took care of she and I for 58 and a half years. Then he called her home. He's still taking care of me and my new wife, just like he can take care of you. And he will, no matter what you're having to do. God has many ways of providing for you that you can't even imagine. I might be the pastor of this church, but you know what? I can't do everything that needs doing in this church. I need help. I can't support this church by myself. I don't raise any money for this church. You people are doing that. You people are being used of God to accomplish that. Some of our people help me to do some of the things that need doing, physical things. I'm getting old. I can't be as physical as I used to be. A.B. Campbell has helped this church for 47 years. He's done maintenance, he's repaired things. And last weekend, A.B. Campbell was helping a neighbor. And he got burned. He's in the hospital down at MUSC right now. He's had surgery. He will have surgery again tomorrow. At least that's the plan. I can't do some of the things he was doing around here. perhaps God has brought some of you here to help. He has things that you can do here to help this church be what it's supposed to be. You know, that might be the reason that you're here. It's because God wants to use you. Think about it. There was a time when this church was about to go out of business because it couldn't pay its bills. And God changed all of that by putting good business practices in place into our standard operating procedure. And even that has changed lately. God has taken some of our tithers home to be with Him. And so we need to be very careful. Make sure that we live within our means as a church. A church is a live, living organism. It's not a building or a structure. It's you. You people are the church. God has brought some of you here to help do the things that we were hiring done. Now, people, I'm not trying to scare you or run you off. I'm trying to show you that God wants some of you, and He wants to use you in a particular way here in the church. Some of you have talents and abilities that some of us don't have. And we need the skills that you have here in the church. Your life is not wrapped up in your job. Not totally. God has a purpose for you. And God wants you to be used. He wants you to feel the satisfaction of saying, "Oh, I did that for the church. I did that for the Lord. I did that for God." That's why He has put you here. For years, Ed Veroni back there has helped with our sound system. A.B. Campbell used to have total control of that. He's not here right now. Ed is taken care of. But maybe someone here has the ability to learn a little bit about what goes on back there and can be used of the Lord to help. Maybe God has put you here for that reason. I've been talking about purpose in the church. The church is not the building that we're meeting in today, but it's all the people who are sitting here this morning. You are the church. You're the church of Jesus Christ. And we're so glad that you're all a part of that church, a part of this church, this local church. We are really glad to have you as a part of it. Yes, there will be a day when we all gather around the throne of Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of our life, is to live so that when that day comes, we can gather around His throne in heaven as a part of His body. In heaven, we'll worship and praise Him because He bought us from sin. I hope that you understand. And I hope that everyone here this morning is a born again child of God. But while we wait our turn to go home to be with the Lord, we have things that we could be doing for this church. The church and the Lord really need you, all of you. No matter who you are, how old you are, what your physical abilities are, there is a purpose for you in the church. And believe it or not, the church and the Lord really need you. I'd like to start with a familiar verse of Scripture, one that you hear us mention every once in a while, Romans 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see the last word in that sentence? Last word in that verse? It's purpose. On purpose. God intended it to be that way. God does not want any of you to be a wallflower. God has a purpose for you. God wants you to be a beautiful tree blooming in his garden we call the world. And he wants you, every one of us, to be producing fruit. Fruit. When Connie and I lived down in South Texas, there were orange groves and grapefruit groves everywhere. We had an orange tree on our property. And in the spring, it would put on blossoms, and they would smell fantastic. I love to smell orange blossoms. And the tree would slowly start putting on fruit. And pretty soon, that fruit would get to be, well, maybe that big around. Orange in color. Beautiful fruit. You can go and pull one off the tree and cut it in two and put it in your mouth and squeeze it a little bit to get the juice out of it. And oh, it was sour. See, at one time that had been an orange tree, but there'd been a freeze and the original tree had frozen below the graft because they have to graft orange trees onto good roots. And this tree had been grafted onto a sour root. If you put good branches on the sour root, they're fine. But these branches died back. It wasn't good fruit, folks. But God wants from you. He wants from each one of you, no matter who you are. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your abilities. God wants fruit from you. How can you be fruitful? With the Lord Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for you. He says so in Romans 8:28. He has called each one of you For that very reason, he has a purpose for you. And in order for him to use you, you have to be fruitful. I want to be candid with you right now. Right now, I see difficulty in most of our lives. If you're young, you might expect to have your whole life in front of you right now. And you might believe that you have plenty of time to do whatever it is, the things that God might want you to do. But the problem with that is that God may want you to be doing the things for him right now. And some of those things are not getting done. You think God called you to be saved just because he loved you? Well, that was part of why he called you to be saved, was because he loves you. But he also called you to be saved because he has a purpose for you. The fact of the matter is that he loves you, but he has a much higher purpose. And it involves fruit. You think I'm kidding about that fruit? I'm not. Let me show you a verse that will help you to understand. Help you to prove that God has a purpose for you. It's 2 Titus 1, 7 through 9. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy 1, 7 through 9. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner. This is Paul writing to Timothy. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God didn't call you to your works. God is calling you to his grace, to his purpose. It was given in Christ Jesus before the world began, back in eternity past. God said, I'm going to put so-and-so here on this earth, and you're the person. I've got a purpose for them. I want to use them. I want them to be fruitful. What these verses are saying is that before you were even conceived, God had established a purpose for your life. And as he formed you in your mother's womb, he was making you able to do what he wanted you to do here on this earth. You were made to do those things, and you will find real joy in doing them, in serving Jesus. I know, because I've experienced it starting several years ago. And I'm still experiencing it today. Yes, there have been some bumps on the road, but they've generally been small. You can't experience the blessings of God if you're not where God wants you to be. God has a place for you. I've been given two wives in my lifetime, one to help me after my first wife went home to be with the Lord. I had to be in a place where God would provide what he wanted me to have. If you're not where God wants you to be, get alone with him. Talk to him. Ask him where he wants you to be, what he wants you to do. Talk it over with him. And then be still and know that he is God. Be still and know that he is God. As long as you're breathing, it's not too late. Some of God's plan take time. And that can become a problem. It can become a problem for each of us. You know, we lose sight of what God wants, what his plan might be. By the time we think we're ready for it, it's too late. Or we've let the time pass and we haven't accomplished what he wanted us to accomplish. This church needs you, every one of you. No one is exempt, no one. You might think that God doesn't need you, but you would be wrong. God can get someone else to do what he wants you to do, and you will miss the blessing and you will miss the satisfaction of serving the Lord. But he's really right now planning on giving you the opportunity to do what you can do. Each one of you. As we bring this message to a close, I'd like everyone to look at the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let's go on. Verses 24 and 25. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. On Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, we've been studying 1 John during Sunday school and then in the Sunday evening service. He's taught us three things about God. God is to you one of three things, or all three of them, depending upon your relationship. First of all, God is love. God loves you. Loves me too. He loves everyone. That's what John says. God is light. God gives us an understanding of the Word through the Holy Spirit. And so God is, for each of us, light. And then God is something most important to each of us. God is life, L-I-F-E, life. Your life is God. So the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, you have all the fruit of the Spirit within you. All of it. Now, I have problems with one of the fruit, one part of the fruit. You probably don't have that problem, but I have. Temperance. Temperance, it's the last part of the fruit of the Spirit. Temperance, self-control. That's what the word means. And no, I did not sneak a donut this morning, because I'm trying to exercise temperance. And it wasn't necessary. It wasn't needed. Now, temperance might not be desirable to me personally, because I have trouble with it. It requires discipline on my part. And if the pain is great enough, I might consider it. But under normal circumstances, I avoid all the temperance I can most of the time. We call that human. People, I can assure you that you will be happier in the center of God's will. Anywhere in the universe, anywhere in the universe, then you will be with your own will. You will be happier with God's will. What is the purpose of the church? To serve God. Will you do it? Father, we have problems. We have self-desires. We have the old nature sometimes, Father. But we ask as we come before you now that you will help us to be temperate to the point that you can use us and that you will use us in the ministry of this church. Show us where we can fit in, Father, where we can be a part of your plan. And then, Father, give us the energy and the courage to do that. And we will praise you for what you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.